Good evening. Good to see you folks tonight. It's good to be seen as well. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Judges chapter 16 tonight. Judges chapter 16. I do have a lot of material that I would like to cover tonight, but if it doesn't get done, it doesn't get done. Who's got the day off tomorrow? So if we go over, it's no big deal. Right, Jordan? Even if you're hungry. Jordan and I were just talking about that just a few moments ago, about being hungry before church. Good thing is, we come to church to get fed. So your cravings for food are going to get quenched here real quick. So, well, it is good to be here. I already said that. You excited to be alive tonight? All right. Hey, I forgot to mention, September the 18th, 10 o'clock in the morning, we'll be doing visitation. Mark that down. We'll have a good time. All right, let's begin reading here in chapter number 16. And my desire is to read this whole chapter here. It says, "Then went Samson to Gaza and Sue and saw there a harlot and went in unto her and was told the Gazites, saying, Samson is come hither. And they compassed him in and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city and were quiet all the night, saying in the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city, and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of a hill that is before Hebron. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her, and said unto her, Entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said unto her, If they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withs which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in a chamber. And she said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson, and he break the withs as a thread of a tow is broken when it toucheth the fire. So his strength was not known. And Delilah said unto Samson, Behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, If they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Delilah, therefore, took new ropes and bound him therewith and said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liers in wait, abiding in the chamber, and he brake them from off his arms like a thread. And Delilah said unto Samson, Hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, If thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web, and she fastened it with a pin, and said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awaked out of his sleep, and went away with a pin of the beam, and with a web. And she said unto him, How canst thou say I love thee, when thy heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these 3 times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words, and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death. Then he told her all his heart, and said unto her, There hath not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, Come up this once, for he has shown me all of his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said to the Philistines, Be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and brought him and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison houses. Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon their god, and to rejoice, for they said, Our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. And when the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, "Our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy, and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us." And it came to pass when our hearts were merry that they said, "Call for Samson, that he may make us sport." And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. And Samson said to the lad that held him by the hand, "Suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them." Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there, and there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld why Samson made sport. And Samson called on the Lord and said, "O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes." And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand, and of the other with his left. And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he bowed himself with all of his might, and a house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the burying place of Manoah his father. And he judged Israel 20 years. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that you have given us to be able to read it, to be able to see with our own eyes what took place. God, I pray that you would again begin to minister and to speak to our hearts this evening. God, I pray that you'd use me in a mighty way. I pray, Lord, for the ones who aren't here. God, I pray that you would bring them back safely to us. God, I pray for the ones who are not here just to not be here. God, I pray you bring conviction to their hearts. We ask you these things, Lord, in your name. Amen. The title of tonight's message is Secrets Kill Relationships. Secrets Kill Relationships. So tonight, let us dive a little bit further into the life of Samson, who was known for his great strength. But instead of tonight of focusing upon his strength, we need to consider the weakness of Samson. Guys are in throng, or they get caught up in the strength of other men. Earlier today, I was watching a video that was on YouTube, and it was dealing with specifically the strength of one mighty Russian. And this guy would put chains about him tight as can be. And he would begin to flex, and those chains would begin to break. I kid you not. I would see the veins pop out of his head. I would see his back begin to explode to get bigger, and the chains would break. He also had handcuffs on his hands with padlocks on them. At the same time, he would take those, and he would thrust those and break them in half. I'm thinking to myself, man, this is the Samson of our day. Not on top of that, he would take those hot water, hot water heating pads? Am I got that thing right? Those big rubber things that you would fill up with hot water and old people would use them. What's that? See, I stand corrected. They're bottles, not pads. But anyway, I would see that, and he would take those things, and he would blow them up until they popped. And he would do that, had great lung capacity. I also saw at the same time, he would put it really flat. He would have a hose hooked up to it. But on top of this board, he would put three or four different dumbbells on there. And they weighed about 20 pounds, maybe 25 pounds apiece. He would add those on top of there. And with amazement, I watched as he grabbed that long hose, which is probably about 15 feet long. Within seconds, those dumbbells fell off. Begin to see the strength of this mighty man. But even as we see the strength of this man has weaknesses. And tonight we'll expose the weakness of Samson. So we need to consider what his weakness is or was. But every mighty man at some point in time in his life, his weakness is revealed. And when his weakness is revealed, it usually means there is a great fall to come. That usually is what happens. But we cannot sit here tonight and ignore the fact that Samson had a taste for ungodly women. It didn't end very well with his first wife. We saw what took place. It was a horrific story. We saw the things that Samson went through at this point in time. But we saw that his taste was not really, in our eyes, in our standards, were not good. And now we will see the tragic end to his life with a woman that he loved named Delilah. Interesting, before I get going on there, I see that he loved her, but I don't see no love in return to him at all whatsoever. Matter of fact, is what we see with this woman is a woman who tried to trick her own husband out of his strength. Day after day, she pestered him. Day after day, she complained and was mad at him for not showing and sharing with him where his strength came from. And so we see the tragic end to this man's life. But before we even get into that, we need to begin to encounter the story of Delilah. We are first met with a woman in chapter number 16 that we see here, who doesn't have such a great way of living. Verse number 1, it says, "Then Samson went to Gaza and saw there an harlot and went in unto her." No name is given here, but she was referred to as an harlot. So we can see that she is not a desirous woman to be around. She is a woman that lived a different lifestyle compared to a modest, godly woman. She was a woman that sought other things, fleshly, for her pleasures. And so this wasn't a woman that wasn't desirous for any man to really be around. Now we would think that Samson had a night of passion with her. That's what we would assume from this scripture. After all, it says, "There saw a harlot and went in unto her." But think with me for a moment. Try to think outside the box just a little bit. Samson's life was in danger here. Remember, he had just escaped from being bound by the Philistines. Judah came down and they arrested him. And then along the way, he ended up killing 1,000 men with a jawbone of an ass. We went through that last week. And so we know that Samson's life was in danger. And so when your life is in danger, you're going to do some things to try to protect yourself. So I want you to think with me just a little bit, because I'm going to share some other scripture with you in this matter. So his life was in danger. He had no place to go for safety. If he was to go to someone else's place of dignity, they might sell him out and might turn him in and they might arrest him. So instead, he went to the house of this harlot that is mentioned here in chapter number 16. The Bible doesn't say that he has slept with her. The Bible does say that he went in under her. So we got to understand these things. But our mind begins to make up the rest of the story. I truly believe he had other intentions on being at her place. For example, I want you to turn to Joshua chapter number 2 to help me further explain this. Joshua chapter number 2. And we're going to read a lengthy portion of this. Joshua chapter 2. And we're going to begin to read in verse number 1. It says, "And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, 'Go view the land, even Jericho.' And they went and came into," what do you see there? "A harlot's house named Rahab, and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, 'Behold, there came men in hither to night of the children of Israel to search out the country.' And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, 'Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all of the country.' And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said, 'Thus there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were.' And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gates, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan of the fords, and as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them unto the roof. And she said to them, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did under the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore, I pray you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brother and my sisters and all they have, and deliver our lives from the death. So now we read this story here with Joshua of Rahab, how two spies were sent to Jericho, and upon their arrival, they went into the house of a harlot whose name was Rahab. They had a mission. Their mission at this point in time was to spy out the land of Jericho. They had to get an overlay of the city that they were going to conquer. And in the midst of this, here's this harlot named Rahab, and that's where they go into this place at this point in time. So their mission was to spy out the land, and their second mission is not to get caught. You don't want to give yourself up. You don't want to let people know that you're there. You don't want to get caught, even our special forces today. They sneak into places. They have great skills to crawl underneath a radar, to get into places where you and I can't even imagine breaking into. And they're skilled in these areas. They're so skilled because they don't want to get caught. Because if they get caught, then the plans that they have for this particular operation is going to explode. It's not going to come forth. And so here they're to spy out the land and not get caught. If they were to have gone in any other house, they probably at this point in time would have been arrested and perhaps put in jail, and possibly their very life could have been taken. I say this for this reason. God can use anyone that he wants to bring glory to himself. It doesn't matter who you are in life, God can use anybody that he wants and desires to use. We also need to understand that God works in unusual ways. We forget about that, but we begin to analyze and think with our own minds, and we say, man, I wouldn't do something like that. You're exactly right. Because our ways aren't always the right ways. But God operates in unusual ways. So with this being said, keep this in mind. Samson was among his enemies. So as I just rehearsed this story, could it be that he was probably spying out the enemy's territory for what was about to take place in his life? Think about this. When you know that you're being pursued, and when you got a nation that is after you, eventually you're going to get caught. Eventually your gig's up. You can only escape for so long. And so maybe at this point in time, he was spying out the enemy's territory. Here's why I'm led to believe this in verse number 3. It says, Samson, verse number 3, it says, let me turn back there, I'm in Joshua. It says, and Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city, and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of a hill that is before Hebron. So he took the gates, the doors of the city, carries them almost, think about this, almost 9 miles to his destination of Hebron. Now, I've been over there. I have seen the gates of some of these cities, and it's something that I would never even imagine to begin to pick up in my own personal life and to carry these for about 9 miles. But Samson did those things. He carried them to their place of the destination on top of the hill before Hebron. Interesting thought today. Gaza, or Gaza, however you want to say it. You can come up with the correct term for that and share it with me later. I'd appreciate that. But you know my English. I'll mess it up regardless. But Gaza is an open city today without gates or walls. but the sights of the ancient city walls can still be seen this day. I'll never forget as I'm flying over there 2 years ago, and I'll never forget as I'm looking out the window. I have the window seat. I was fortunate enough to where the group that I was meeting up with in Newark, New Jersey, their flight got canceled because of a bad windstorm from Orlando, and so their flight got delayed for about 3 hours, and so they were not able to make the connecting flight with us to Israel. And so it was kind of a blessing to me, because when you're on a 12-hour flight, the last thing that you want to do for 12 hours is be a sardine in an airplane, that you don't really have any room to move. And myself, I don't care to get up in a plane. I don't like moving around on those things. For some reason, it might be a height issue, but I feel weird walking around on an airplane. But I was able to have some room, because the people that I was sitting next to wasn't able to make the connecting flight. So as we're flying there, 12 hours have come, they passed, and we're beginning to descend upon our landing site there. And off to the right, guess what city I was able to see? Gaza. I was able to see this city that is being talked about to this day. Do you realize that Gaza is not a very good place to be in? I'll get into this more a little bit later. So Gaza continues to be a threat to the Israelites, constantly launching rockets at them, constantly causing havoc upon them. And this is done usually every 3 to 4 years, oddly enough. Every 3 to 4 years, you can almost guarantee it, that Gaza is going to send rockets into Israel. And they do this for a reason. It's usually done to get money from the states. It's what they do. It's interesting when you begin to think about those things. And so this is the city that Samson was a part of for a brief moment in history. So as we continue to move on from the harlot of Gaza, let us now shift our focus onto Samson, being in love with Delilah. It says this here in verse number 4. It says, "And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah." Now you can go back a few chapters. Remember, Samson was already previously married, was he not? You don't hear anything mentioned about Samson loving his first wife. You don't hear that taking place. I find that kind of odd. I find it strange to where that is not mentioned. Matter of fact, it was almost an arranged marriage when you begin to think about it. Mom, Dad, I see this woman down here in Timnath. Go down and get her for me to wife. Where's the love in that? Anyway, as we continue to go on here, the thing that really sticks out to me is the fact that they are in a relationship that has secrets. It is a secret-filled relationship. She's trying to get into his heart so that he can reveal to her where his strength lieth. It picks up here in verse number 4-5. It says, "And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, Entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver." So we see that this relationship is relationship based on secrets. Hear me for the next few moments, if you would, please. Secrets are a major factor when it comes to relationships being destroyed. Whether it's a marriage, or friendship, or co-workers for that matter, secrets will play a part in destroying relationships. I don't think this would have changed the story much, to be honest with you. Delilah could have been used in a different way. But the fact of the matter is, secrets is a great relationship killer. Ask any husband or spouse that has problems. It usually comes back, "Well, he didn't tell me this. She didn't tell me that." There's secrets that are involved there. So we see Samson and Delilah really didn't get off to a great start here. But not to mention, he went back to a Philistine woman. A woman who was not of his tribe. A woman that was should have been out of his sight, to be honest with you. But a woman with his own enemies. As I began to think about this, a thought came to my mind. Samson really believed in keeping his enemies close, did he not? It's kind of funny when you begin to think about those things. Even though Samson loved Delilah, Delilah had other intentions. We can see that from the get-go in the differences of these two people. It says very clearly, as I said a while ago, Samson loved Delilah. And we don't see Delilah responding back with love for Samson. Therein lies a problem itself. One person loving the other person's in it for financial gain. That's what it was about. Samson loved her. The Philistines came unto Delilah. Hey, Delilah, bear with us for a few moments. Try to get his secrets out, and when his secrets are finally revealed, here's your price. 1,100 pieces of silver. So as Samson kept his secrets from her, Delilah also kept her secrets from him. Hey, I'm going to gain from this financially. Hey, I'm not really gaining a husband here. My husband, he's going to be caught. He's going to be killed. That's the end of the story. But me, I'm going to continue on. I'm going to have 1,100 pieces of silver. I'm going to invest in that, and I'm going to gain more wealth from that. I'm going to have more popularity because of what I've done. She's keeping secrets from Samson as well. I'm almost led to believe that Samson really didn't know who Delilah was. In order for a relationship to truly succeed, is for a husband and a wife to truly know who each other are. But could it be that Samson was only attracted to her because of her beauty? You know, that happens in our society today. We are attracted to the outward appearance. And we don't bother looking on the inward appearance. This is funny. I got to tell this story. Jalen, forgive me, but this is funny. We're talking here a few weeks ago, and she just started college, and she's talking about some things going on. And I'm trying to embarrass you, but you'll get my point here. And she's talking about a baseball team. She goes, yeah, these guys, they kind of look weird. They got mullets, and they're tall, dangly, and dorky. She goes, but there's one fine specimen there. I'm like, one fine specimen? Who's this talking to me? She goes, well, just like this guy. He's a fine specimen. Okay, Jalen, stop. Stop right there. She goes, what? I said, I'm going to show you what a fine specimen turns into. I said, it's your dad. See, don't get caught up in the outward appearance. But so often that's what we do. We are attracted to the physicalness of a person. But what we really need to be attracted to is the heart. Samson here, I believe, was attracted to her physically. But he wasn't attracted to her heart. When you're attracted to somebody's heart, that really changes something. It truly does. Yes, I'll be the first one to admit it. I fell in love with my wife because of her beauty, but also fell in love with her because of what a great heart she has. I didn't see that right up front, but as the years have gone by, I've seen that more and more and more. And I'm going to be honest with you, young people, I'm more attracted to her heart than I am her outward appearance. Because her heart is what matters to me. That's my honest opinion on that. So often that is the case today. People are only attracted to the physical, and thus they don't really get to know who the true individual is. They miss out on those things. Some quick advice to parents here. This is myself included. Don't be so quick on rushing your kids off to getting married. What's the hurry? I honestly understand someday it will happen, even in my own family. I understand that. but I want to enjoy what we have right now because it's not going to be there that much longer. And I'm not in a hurry to kick her out the door. I'm not. Even if God has a godly man for her, and I know he does, I'm not in a hurry. I only get her for such a short amount of time. And I want to enjoy that time that I have with her. Because there's going to come a day when Dad's just going to be something that's on the shelf. And she's not going to tell me every day that she loves me. She's going to be telling her husband that. And I'm okay with that. But I want to enjoy now. And I'm not in a hurry to get her out the door. Delilah could care less about Samson. And it shows in the remainder of this chapter, as we just read here, and that she is quick to find his secret to his strength so it could be used against him. This wasn't love. And honestly, don't take this the wrong way, parents, but most young people have no idea what love is. It's infatuation because they're caught up in the outward appearance. And here's what happens. They get married for the wrong reasons and usually end up in divorce. And that's a sad thing to have. So as we continue to move on, Delilah eventually found out the secret that Samson kept from her. He gave in. He couldn't take the pestering. He couldn't take the whining from her. He couldn't take the constant nagging from her. And I'm not talking bad about you women right now, so don't take that the wrong way. But that's what was taking place in this chapter. Yes, we men, we complain. Yes, we men, we nag. Yes, we men, we do the same things. So don't think that I'm putting you down for one moment here. But he gave in and his secret was revealed. And look what takes place. Verse number 18, it says, "When Delilah saw that he told her all his heart." Why did he tell her all of his heart? Because Samson loved Delilah. But Delilah did not love Samson. Because if she loved him, she would not have done what she was about to do. So she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up this once, for he has showed me all of his heart." Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and strength went from him. And she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as other times before and shake myself." And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the house, howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he's shaven. Here's what you don't see in the story. Delilah, why did you do this to me? Delilah, I thought you loved me. I thought we had a relationship together. Why did you sell me out? I thought what we had was a good thing. Delilah, please don't let them take me into prison. Delilah, don't let them poke my eyes out to where I can't see no more. We don't see this in Scripture, but I can almost just imagine that could have been taking place in the life of Samson at this point in time. See, so often as we read stories, I try to imagine what's taking place that isn't often mentioned. And I can just imagine me being who I am would begin to do that very thing. Why? Why? Why are you doing this? What did I do to you? Don't you love me? I often wonder if that's what Samson did. Earlier I said we knew where Samson's strength came from. But what about his weakness? His weakness was women. That's what it was. His weakness was women. Samson was more caught up in himself and his fleshly desires than he was of being caught up in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 22, we just read a little bit ago, but let's read it again. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Note this. It does not say how long his hair was. It just said it began to grow again. Think about this real quick. Wednesday night, I came in here. I had a fresh haircut. And my stylist did something this time that she hasn't done before. She says, do you want to shave the sides of your head like we did last time? I'm like, well, what do you mean like we did last time? You know, just to make it shorter than what it is. Make it a little smooth like a baby's bottom. That's what she used for the description. I said, okay, yeah, let's go for it. So she did that. And I, after she got done, I felt my scalp. I'm thinking I'm bald. I have nothing there. And I said, Chris, feel this. She goes, wow, that's smooth. But you know what happened the very next day? I have stubble. My hair began to grow. And I've been having her feel it every day since then, just to see the difference of how quick hair can grow in a man. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to announce to you tonight, I'm like a chia pet, which is why I cut my hair every 3 weeks. But anyway, it doesn't say how long his hair was. But I want to jump down to verse number 28, because I believe this is the key right here. Verse number 28, it says, and Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me. I pray thee, listen to these next words. And what? And strengthen me. We have seen on numerous occasions that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson. We've seen on a couple occasions where the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily. And now, Samson is praying to God, God the Father, and he's asking him for what? He's asking him for strength. Samson realized at this point in time in his life where his strength comes from. It was from the Lord himself. And he specifically asked God to give him strength once again. You know, I have come to realize in my life, when I want something done in my life, I've got to be specific with him. I need to be specific with him. Samson was specific with him. And God gave him strength once again. God gives him strength. As we read the rest of the story, Samson's brought to the pillars where this group of people are celebrating. They're having a big old party. And this young man, or whoever this man is, boy, or whoever he is, grabs Samson. Remember, he grabs him for this reason. He's blind. He has no eyes. He can't see no more. So he takes him over to the pillars, puts his hand upon each pillar, and those pillars came down, and 3,000 men and women were destroyed that day. Where does our strength come from? Verse 28. Our strength comes from the Lord. Samson calls upon God. God, remember me, I pray thee. Give me strength once again. Our strength comes from the Lord. Everyday believers are in a battle. It becomes tiresome. It's weary. We get fatigued. But let me say this. We can be victorious daily when relying on strength from the Lord. Just like Samson, all we have to do is ask for it. We need to ask for it. And God is good. Where does Samson's strength lie from? I can't get over the fact that it came from the Lord. And that's where we get our strength every day in our lives. No matter what we face, no matter what obstacle we go through, our strength comes from him. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful tonight that we are able to rely upon you for wisdom, strength, and encouragement. God, I thank you tonight, helping us realize even more. Our strength doesn't come from within ourselves, but our strength comes from you and you alone. God, I pray that you continue to allow your words to minister to our hearts throughout this week. God, I pray that you just watch over us, bless us as we leave from here. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace and your mercy that you give us every single day. And God, I want to say thank you for giving us the strength to overcome the circumstances that we face in life. Lord, I say this quite often, but it's so true. We love you tonight because you first loved us. We ask you these things in your name. Amen.